Thank you so much for having me and my family here tonight. I want to start off by introducing them. I've got my wife. Go ahead and stand up on the fourth row here. I've got Joel, Katie, Benji. I don't see Emily. Emily and Abby went to the restroom. And then I've got Timmy in the nursery. So you can sit down. Thank you. I don't really recall how many kids I had when I first came here, but it wasn't quite that many. We had four? Okay. So it's hard to keep track of these things. Grace has been supporting us for quite some time now. They took us on when we were on deputation, and we just completed our second term. And so thank you for your faithful support over all these years. And what I want to do is I want to give an update about what we have been doing this last term, about our ministry there. I do have a short video presentation that is just very short. It's just about 2 minutes, and it's testimonies of some of the people that we've been able to minister to while we're there in Ghana. And I would like you to meet them. But first, before we do that, I need to apologize. You guys are my first church coming off the field. We've been here for about two and a half weeks, and I've ordered prayer cards, but they've not yet arrived in my hand. So what I have is substitute business cards. Yes, very clever, I know. And so we do covet your prayers, and I know this church is a missions-minded church. They pray for their missionaries. They like to take care of their missionaries. I got a little excited when I saw $2,000 scholarships going around. You guys set the standard really high. No, I'm just kidding about that. We're here because of churches like this one that allow us to go out and represent them on the field. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and show that video, Carlton. It's not very long, but I'll show you some of the people that we've been able to minister to, and I'll get up and tell you how we got to that point, because these testimonies were recorded the last Sunday we were there, before we came back.
now, but as you said, what you have done for me. I was in the house when he came to the family for various studies, and I received him. I was very happy. He showed me the way of the salvation. I too follow him until this time, and I think that I've seen that I have a new life from God.
Let me name Adia Efa and Kwanjia. You know, Pastor said, a moment who acquire a fasso, Adia Efa and Kwanjia. A church near Bomashi, a fan Kwanjia. You need an assembly brave.
When I first met the Akri family, I worshiped with a Jehovah's Witness. And Pastor Seth tried talking to me about salvation, but I didn't pay much attention to it. Later, he approached me with the gospel again, and I accepted. I didn't have to work to be saved. All I need is to believe correctly. I got baptized and now study with the Baptist Bible study. I'm happy I met the atheist.
Hi everyone, my name is Agnes, and I'm very happy to be part of this Baptist church family. I would like to say that our church has been a great blessing to me, that it has encouraged me to draw closer to Jesus, and I want to show deep appreciation. As they come to the United States, we'll be missing them, but then we'll still pray for them. We believe that they'll come back and join us. And I want to thank you also over there for all what you've done for them, and ask you, amen. Thank you so much.
Those are four of the adults in our church that have been faithful. And so before we get to that, I want to back up and tell you how we got there. We first went to the field in March of 2014. And when we first got there, it was laid upon my heart that I needed to work with a veteran missionary to learn about Ghana, about missions experientially. You know, I've gone through the classroom. I studied an ambassador, majored in missions. And classroom setting is one thing. And I felt strongly that I needed to work with somebody. So I worked with Frederick Kearney, another BIMI missionary, there in Tema, Ghana. And we were there not very long. And he approached me and said, Seth, I need to go on furlough. I said, I just got here. I'd only been there a couple weeks. And he says, I need to go on furlough. So I talked him into staying until we had been there for about 5 months, and he went stateside. And we basically functioned as furlough replacement missionaries when we first got there. And we were prepared for the field as much as you can be prepared for the field, but it was a lot. It was a lot. And when they came back, we decided to move to the city of Kumasi. It's the second largest city in Ghana, and that's West Africa. That's not to be confused with Guyana, the country in South America, or Uganda, the country over in West Africa. We get that a lot, that confusion there. But we moved to Kumasi, and the reason we did that was because we wanted to learn the language of Cree better, and that is the language of that area. There are English is the official language of the country. It is the one recognized by the government. But there are like nine sponsored, they call it sponsored languages, and that's the tribal dialects. And so in Tema, it was very difficult to learn Cree because when we wanted to practice, people would speak English to us. So we wanted to go to Kumasi. And to be honest, my Cree is not very good. It's not very good at all. We did try. And we still work at it. But after our first term, we came back to the States, had a baby, and went back. And our second term, we felt that it was time to branch out and start our own ministry. Up to this point, we had been working under other missionaries' ministries, helping out in their ministries. And we'd learned quite a bit. by this point, you know, boots on the ground, the experience that we were looking for. And so we moved. We moved from Kumasi. We arrived in November of 2017. By January, I was looking for, I had found a house, and we moved at the beginning of the year up to the city of Sunyani. Now, Sunyani is basically their version of, it would be equivalent to a state capital. The Ghana was divided up into 10 different regions, their versions of states, and Sunyani was the capital. And we knew of no gospel preaching, Bible believing, fundamental independent Baptist churches in the area that we were going to go to. I went there. I surveyed the area. The closest churches we found was Fundamental Baptist Church on the other side of Sunyani from where we were at. And I met with a pastor. His name was Seth as well, Pastor Seth Antry. And he lived about 45 minutes north of Sunyani. He had a church up there. And I asked him, if you were going to start a church here, where would you do it? And he drove me around and he took me to a place called Ohenegine. And he said, if I was going to start a church, this is the place that I would start a church. They tried to start a church a little bit further down the road in Abasim, but that church didn't make it. And so I went house hunting, and very first house I found, we rented. God blessed, and we moved up there. And we immediately started looking for a place to start a church. That was the ministry that God has called us to, is to plant churches. And so we started looking around. I solicited the help of Pastor Rexford. And he went around with me to different places looking for a place. And we were having a very difficult time finding a church location. And he said, Pastor Acri, back in the old days, if you said that you were going to start a church, people would be saying, oh, come here, start a church here, and I will get a blessing from God for you using my property. And times have changed. It was no longer that way in Ghana. But the very next place that we went to was called SIBCO. That's an abbreviation for Standard Institute of Business and Computing, I believe is what it is. And it's a school. And we went and saw the headmaster, the owner of the place. And he says, we would love to have you come. And he let us start a church in the cafeteria of the school. And the entire time we were there, he never charged us anything. Rent-free, he said, I wanted a blessing from God. And so we started Baptist Bible study. Our first service was March 11th, 2018. And our first Sunday, we had about 20 in attendance. And we were just excited. God was working. We were going out on visitation. People were getting saved. Now, it's interesting, in Ghana, I grew up in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning military base. And our church, we have a lot of military personnel come through our doors. And so the turnover in our church may be a little higher than some of some other churches, because military personnel get restationed and moved about with their assignments. I was surprised to find out Ghana is almost like that in nature. People move around all the time. When you have youth, they go to schools, and when they get up to junior high? Sometimes it's junior high. They'll go off to boarding schools. And so if you have youth in your church and you're teaching them and you have this youth group, well, when the school year rolls around, your youth, they just all go. But then others come in from outside. And so it's almost this revolving ministry sometimes with different age groups. And then people are always moving around for work. And we've had a lot of turnover in our church. The people that originally came None of them are still there, but we've always had people there, and God has always blessed in bringing people in, because I believe that if you go out on visitation, you go out into the community, and you try to witness, try to be a light in a dark place with the gospel, that God will bless those efforts, and He has, and He brought people. And it has not been without its challenges. We got there, and we started ministering. This church started growing, and then we had some conflict within the church, and we had a church split. And I would rather not go into the details surrounding that, but it hurt. It hurt the church in more ways than one. And then the following year, COVID came, and the Ghana government took precautions to close down all the churches in the entire country for 3 months. And they shut the schools down for 10 months because they were worried about COVID getting out of hand. Now, in our area in Sunyani, it wasn't really a problem. I don't know anybody in Ghana who had COVID. Now, the same can't be said of people here in the United States, but the capital of Accra had coronavirus pretty bad. It got spread around in Kumasi, the second largest city, quite a bit. But other than that, the country fared pretty well through the coronavirus pandemic. We never saw it. And when the church was closed down by government order, we were going out to the different members' houses and having individual Bible studies with them on a weekly basis. And we just basically did home church for ourselves. And we got through it, but that also did hurt us a little bit. Another trouble and complication that we had on the field is my wife's health. October of 2019, she had an asthma attack, and I don't know if it's related to that, but about that time she started developing symptoms of extreme fatigue and body aches, and it would get to the point where she's almost bedridden sometimes. And it got so bad that in 2020, January of 2020, I sent her here to the States for about a month to visit doctors to try to figure out what the problem was. She has some kind of undiagnosed autoimmune condition. And we still don't know what the problem is. And it is a serious issue, and it is something that we are still actively trying to get figured out, because it impacts our family, it impacts our ministry, and we could use your prayers regarding that. So we're here now looking for the answers to that. We're reporting to churches. I'm currently taking a master's from Pensacola Theological Seminary. And so we've been busy, and we just got here, been here for about 2 weeks, and going around reporting to churches. It was bittersweet leaving Ghana this time. It was before. The circumstances were a little bit different for our first furlough. But as we're recording these testimony videos, we're getting a little choked up. Some of the people, as they're giving testimonies, God has blessed. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people get baptized. And Joyce, she was the third to give her testimony there. We met her down in Tema. She lives in Tema. She was part of the Jehovah's Witness Church, and she was not interested in anything that we had to say about the gospel or Christ. And anytime we bring it up, a wall would just go up. And because of some personal issues that she was working through, God brought that wall down. And when we came back for our second term, we went to visit her down in Tema. And the circumstances were completely different. She got saved. And her children have gotten saved, and her mother has gotten saved. And we're just so excited about what influence God has allowed us to be in the lives of these Ghanaians. And we wouldn't have that if God didn't provide and open the way for us to do that. And we're just thankful for the call of God in our lives. Now, Pastor wanted me to open this up for some question and answer time. If you have any questions, I would love to answer them. If you don't have any questions, I'll preach. So if you want to hear me preach, or whether you don't want to hear me preach, it depends on if you raise your hand. So who has a question for me? Yes, sir. Okay. How is the healthcare situation in Ghana? For the most part, it's not the best. There in Accra, the capital, we're in Sunyani, we're about 8-9 hours away from the capital. The best medicine in the country is in the capital. And they can do some pretty extensive things. I know of people having heart surgery and different things like that. Kumasi is only about 3 hours from where we're at in Sunyani, and the healthcare is not as good in Sunyani as it is in Accra, but it's okay. There in Sunyani, where we're at, it's not very good. Melissa gave birth to Abby and Tema, and we got pregnant on the field again, but we're in Sunyani, and we registered at the hospital in Sunyani just in case we needed to go, but we planned on having the baby in Kumasi, 3 hours away, just because there's not good health care there. And one of the things I failed to mention that I wanted to, and I appreciate you asking this question because it reminded me, in January of this year, we had a medical missions team come in. And as they came in, they were able to see almost 1,000 patients in two pretty remote villages there because they don't have the medical care that they actually need. And everyone that came through got treated. Everyone that came through heard a gospel presentation. And 85 got saved from that evangelism effort. That team that came was with Operation Renewed Hope. And I'm really glad that they came. It's our first hosting of a team, and what a privilege. So thank you. Yes, sir.
How is traditionalism there?
Traditionalism is still very much prevalent. Christianity has been in Ghana for quite some time, but the way it works is they heard about Christ. They heard the gospel. But the Charismatics and the Pentecostals have come in, and that is so similar to their traditional beliefs, dancing, speaking in tongues, you know, saying things that don't make a whole lot of sense, just the way they conduct themselves. So it's almost as if the Pentecostalism, the Charismatic movement has come in and replaced traditionalism to some degree. It's the same thing, just with a Christian label. And to show you the comparison, and I use this whenever I go out and evangelize, if somebody curses you in Ghana, the way to remove the curse is to go to the witch doctor and to take a sacrifice, an animal to the witch doctor so that he can sacrifice it on your behalf. And blood, you know, they've heard about the gospel, but they've adapted it to their traditionalism, and they try to merge it. And it's not uncommon to have somebody go to church on Sunday and then go to the witch doctor on Monday. And they don't separate it. They are polytheistic. They have their own river god and Kwame, their big god, and different things like that. And so what's one more god? What's Jesus? You just add it to the group. And they don't really say it like that, but work salvation, prosperity gospel is just endemic to that culture. And it goes back to the traditional roots that they've not even given up. they still have it, very much so. So it's a good question. Yes, sir, in the back.
You said that you struggled with the language a little bit. I believe I heard you correctly. How does that affect your ministry? Is it a lot of English speaking there, or does that kind of shut some doors?
It does shut some doors. Stella, the second lady to give testimony, she lives in our neighborhood. Her English is not really the best, so she gave her testimony in Tree. And she came and worked in our house for a while. She's a widow. She's got four children. The oldest has basically run away from home. And when we found her, she was not in a good place. And we tried to... My philosophy is, you know, what we see in James... Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And Joyce, when she was down in Tema, we helped her out. And Stella there in Sunyani, we helped her out. But she doesn't speak much English, but we had her come work in our home. And that helps us in practicing our tree. And it helps her in learning her English. And we were able to get by. You know, she comes to our house a couple times a week. And we're able to communicate. Even though the language barrier is there. English is taught in the school. So any of the children, for the most part, if they go to school and they're in the cities, the children, they know English. Even if that's not their first language. What you're going to run into problems with the language is the older generation, specifically the older women. Men are more readily to know English than the women because they go out more for work and different things. But we work at it. We translate our services, and it's not because we refuse to learn the language, but you can sometimes have more than one tribal group represented, and not everybody knows the same tribal dialect, and so we will always translate our services from English into Tree. But we've got a French speaker in our congregation. We've had different tribes in the different places that we've been at. So English is, for all intents and purposes, a trade language. And it is used as such. But there is limitations if you don't know the local languages as well. So. Yes, sir.
So what how are you actually trying? Are you actually trying to learn that language through experience or through classes?
When we were in Tema, we had a tutor for about a year, and we learned a lot in doing that. And then we moved to Kumasi, where that is the dominant language, and so we're getting the experience of going out on visitation and into the community and learning the language experientially there and that. But now we've moved to a different area, Sunyani. Tree is still the dominant language, but there is a sub-dialect called Bono in that area. It's basically the same thing, just a little bit different variation in words. And basically practice, you know, just experiential as we go out. And, you know, I know the greetings. I know how to get around in the city and different things like that. But it's conversational tree that I still have to work with. So if you want to see a sample of the language, I've got a tree Bible on the display table back there. You can go look at it. And if I'm back there, I'll even read you some of it. So, yes, sir.
How would you rate the country on a scale of third world, second world, first world?
Okay, it is a third world country. But as far as third world countries go, Ghana is doing better than most of its neighboring countries. Usually when you fly into West Africa, you'll fly into Accra and then you'll take a shorter flight to whichever other country you go. Ghana is relatively peaceful. They do have inflation that you can kind of gauge how they're doing. When we first went there, the exchange rate to the dollar was, I think, 2.4 CDs to the dollar, and now it's around 5.7 in about 8 years. So inflation has almost doubled in the time that we were there, or more than doubled since we've been there. And the people in Ghana, they complain about it too because they see it. And it's difficult. You know, as their pastor, I see the struggles, the financial difficulties that they go through. And it is very much a third world country. Stella, she lived day to day. You know, some days they wouldn't do so well. And so it can be difficult at times, yes. Yes, sir.
How's your agricultural there? What do all these do there?
Cocoa's a big export as far as agriculture. There in Sunyani, where we're at, the climate's interesting there in Ghana. You have two seasons. You have a wet, dry season, and you have you have a hot, wet season or a dry, hot season. Okay. It's hot year-round, but it's either dry or it's wet, rainy season. And there in Sunyani, where we're at, we don't have one of each. We actually have two of each. There's an extra rainy season thrown in there. And so the area that we're living in is actually used a lot for the agriculture, the farming. They've got cashew farms and different things like that in that area. And in my yard, I grow a lot of fruit. I have papaya in my yard. I've got an avocado tree. I've got an orange tree. There's a mango tree across the street. We did grow strawberries for a while, which is not common and indigenous to Ghana. But things grow. And we try to be self-sufficient a little bit, maybe do a little homesteading, cassava, things like that. So a lot of tropical, what you would consider tropical foods, you know, coconuts and pineapple, and that all grows there, and we enjoy a lot of the fruit. The food is not bad either, some of it. Some of it is bad. But does that kind of answer your question? Okay. Yes. Okay. What is their educational system, and are they open to allowing us to basically come in? The educational system, they basically have 3 terms in a year. You know, here in America, we have like the fall term and then the spring term. They divide it up into basically 3 terms during the year. And in the school, they teach moral and religious education. That's basically what the class is called. And in that class, they teach traditionalism, they teach Islam, and they teach Christianity, and they teach them as equals. And like I said before, they're a very peace-loving culture, so they really don't want to offend any one group more than the other group. And so they just teach all of them as equal. But with that said, they are very open to having us come in. Sibco, where we started the church, is a boarding senior high school. And so once a week, I would go in and I would have basically chapel services with the young people there. And I did that for several years until we left Sibco. When coronavirus came, we moved to our house and moved the church to our house for more freedom and flexibility in the schedule. And when we did that, the schools were still closed. Where we're at, there's a couple different universities in Sunyani. And so we had a ministry at the University of Energy and Natural Resources there on the north side of Sunyani, and we would have Bible studies there once a week. But that ministry was also closed down when coronavirus came because, again, that school closed for about a year. But yes, there are opportunities and privileges afforded to us to go into the schools, and we've exercised those opportunities as they've come along. Yes, sir.
How's the government? Is the government corrupt, or is it democratic republic?
Are we still recording? Yes. There is a lot of corruption in the government. It took me 5 days to get my driver's license because I wouldn't pay a bribe. And if you want to do paperwork, do it yourself. Don't give somebody your paperwork and say, hey, go process this paperwork, because they'll use back channels and they'll just mess everything up. And it took me 5 years, but I got my paperwork done so that I am allowed to be in the country under my own auspices. Before that, we were sponsored by Christian Borg Baptist Church in Accra, which is the oldest Baptist church in the country. And they basically sponsored us to be in the country. And while we got our paperwork done, and it took us 5 years. There is corruption. But we don't have to succumb to it. You just go through the motions. And here in Ghana, or here in America, it's what you know that will advance you in life. But in Ghana, that's not how it is. It's who you know. And so basically you go around and you meet the right people, and they'll help you through the process, but you don't give them the stuff. You go through it with them. And it's frustrating. It definitely is. But we'll make it. We'll make it. Nobody taught me. Nobody warned me about that before I got to Ghana, the headache that red tape would be. But we got through it. It is 7 o'clock. I'll take one more question if you got it. Otherwise, we will be done. And you can talk to me at the back table. What?
I came for preaching.
You came for preaching. Pastor said I should be done at 7 o'clock. So you're putting me in a tough spot. So I'll preach to you at the back table. How's that sound? All right. All right. That's good. Pastor, if you would come, thank you so much for having us and letting us express gratitude.
Sure, certainly. And I appreciate expressing what God's doing. And that's worship. To hear what they're doing, what God's doing through them, and letting the words of this missionary speak to our hearts when he shares what God's doing through him in these other countries. So if you would, let's all stand, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. I'll ask you and your family if you want to go ahead and head on back there. What's left of your family? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, God, thank you so much for this family. Thank you for the encouragement to see and hear how you are working in their life, in that ministry there, to hear that you still save people. And we just thank you for that opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.